We want to welcome you to the New Song Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Colorado Springs. We love receiving your prayer requests and comments at newsongcs.com. Thanks for listening as Pastor Stephen Hibden shares an encouraging word of God's love.
Can I say happy Thanksgiving to you? You say, no, you can't say that yet. Yes, you can. You can say happy Thanksgiving. This is a month of Thanksgiving, a month of gratitude. This is not something that Oprah Winfrey invented in her day. This is something that Jesus invented. We are to be thankful people. I promise you that some of you, your reward, your gift, whatever it is that you're asking for, will come as you are thankful for the things that God has given you. You start to count your blessings and you'll see the move of God on your life. I believe that very much. It's two words that we hear every day, the series we're in. It's called thank you. We hear them every day. We hear them at the supermarket. We hear them at the gas station. We hear them wherever we go, and I think they mean a lot, but sometimes they lose their meaning because we just, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for everything. And then when we say thank you to Jesus, it's like, yeah, whatever. Are you really thankful? I think God would never say, yeah, whatever, but maybe he would. I don't know. My sister Sina explained to me that only one time in the whole New Testament do you see Jesus even say thank you in those words, thank you, because it means so much and he didn't want it to lose its meaning. So today I set a reminder on your tablet if you own one, a notification on your phone if you have one, because not many people own phones. I know that, not even 10-year-olds or 12-year-olds. I set an alert on your desktop that simply says this: thank you. If you do anything else, put up that title slide there. If you do anything else, let this series remind you to thank your mommy or your daddy for putting up with you all of these years. That would be a good encouragement out of this whole thing. Thank your teachers for being on the front lines of education. Amen. Say amen when I say it. Thank your teachers for being on the front line of education. Thank your first responders for all they do. Say amen. Thank your husband, your wife. Say amen. You're like, I don't even have a husband or wife. Well, thank him for who's coming, or thank him that you don't have to have one. Because, you know, Paul says it'd be better you don't. So you're doing what the Bible says. It'd be better you do better. You don't have to deal with, you know, you see me. I'm by myself today. So, no. Cynthia's in kids ministry. She's serving. They're talking about thankfulness as well today. I also want to thank one other group of people, and if there's any of them in the room today, are there any veterans in the room today? We're going to be celebrating something tomorrow. Would you stand to your feet? Let us honor you. That's the very, 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 very least we can do. Amen. Come on. Come on. If you are a military that's not a veteran, that's stand up too. We appreciate you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. That's like so like empty to just say thank you. The words thank you for all that you guys giving your lives for our country. I can't even imagine some of the stress and the worry and the fear going to other places. And even when you don't end up going to other places, you're a lot of times away from your families. And so we thank those husbands that are here by themselves, or those wives that are here by themselves. Thank those kids for putting up with it all these years. Make sure that you don't make tomorrow a day just to have a picnic or get off. Do they even let you off school anymore for Veterans Day? They should in Colorado Springs. Do they? Yeah. What? Say that again. Oh, at the military base, you're off school. I think everyone should be to honor our veterans. I appreciate you. We also need to thank above all Jesus Christ. Can I give the blessing to Jesus? Amen. I'm not receiving a Grammy Award right now when I say thank you to Jesus Christ. I really mean it, right? Do you thank Jesus? A month of gratitude, we are looking at the power thank you has in our lives. It is crucial that we are thankful people. If you want to be anything like Jesus, if you want anyone to think you look like Jesus, if you want anyone to be attracted to what's inside of you, you need to be a thankful people. If we are going to be a complaining people, if we're going to be an arguing people, if we're going to be a hypocritical people, then fine. Don't tell anyone that you used to be a Christian, all right? But if you want to stand up for Jesus and believe that he's King and believe he's Lord and let people want to come to know him, they're going to have to see thankfulness in you. Okay, we're going to pray right now, and we welcome the newest member of our family. I believe Scarlett is the newest member of our church. I don't know if she's saved yet. I don't know what she's. I think she's going to heaven no matter what. They call it dedication in our church. In some churches, they call it baptism. But we believe that no matter what we do. Oh, man, I can see this much of her, and she's already cute. And I don't want you all to come touch her, but definitely if you get a chance to look at her, because sometimes babies aren't cute. Like, I was not cute as a baby. And people just probably said, oh, look how sweet he is. But she's not just sweet. She is, like, super, like, she looks like a model, like, baby that would be on a modeling magazine for babies, which would be weird. So that would be, but good job, Seth. Good job, Lisa. Lord, good job, Kathleen. I guess I can give you the help, too. Lord, we thank you for this day. I say it, and I don't even mean it sometimes when I say it, but we say thank you. Lord, I pray that you would open up our ears, everyone in this room, to hear from you today, that we would leave here being even more thankful people. I know it's hard sometimes to concentrate and focus, Lord, but when it's your word, there's something that happens in our lives when we hear your word, and it doesn't have to be in a church situation, but since we're all here today, I pray that you would just anoint our ears to hear from you in Jesus' name. Amen. Has anyone ever done something really nice for you and you were in too big of a hurry to verbalize it to them? You didn't say thank you. Don't answer, because you're like, no, not me. It's the people that didn't show up today for church that did this. Did you know that your thank you that you thought in your head doesn't get communicated to anyone but yourself when you just think it in your head? Like, I appreciate that. You go when you're in a hurry, you walk into the mall and you open and someone opens the door for you and you walk right on through and you're like, gee, that was really nice. I can't believe that person. This is a new day. I guess people are nicer than I thought. That was great. You know, they didn't hear that. You need to say thank you to them. If you don't communicate, if you don't verbalize it to them, they won't hear it. And the title of my message today is Thank You is a Verb. Okay? Does it ever dawn on you that you need to open your mouth and say thank you, to say you're appreciative, to say you love someone, to say I appreciate you? Now, my wife asked me this question. Does it ever dawn on you that you need to open your mouth and say this? That's where I took this question from. And she said it in a nice tone, I was in a hurry, and I forgot something, and I come back in the house, and there's her with my keys and a treat. And she's like, here you go. And I'm like, where's my phone? Instead of saying, well, thank you for going another step and giving me. No, I didn't. And sometimes we think we're more thankful than we are. Recently, I did this, and I said something like, do you know where my phone is? Instead of, wow, thank you. And although I think of myself as a thankful person, and I'm sure you think of yourself as a thankful person, we all think we're so thankful. We're such great people. Outwardly, there's no excuse for being distracted. This time of year is going to get you distracted by many things, as it said about Martha. There's no excuse for being preoccupied too much to say thank you. We can't be too self-absorbed. That's not what a Jesus person looks like. They're not self-absorbed. They're others absorbed. They want to help others. They want to look around. That's why I say when someone raises their hand for prayer, you best be looking for how you can help others. You're not here for yourself. You didn't come. Some of you came in here for yourself today. That's okay. If you're brand new here, if you've been here for a few weeks, you've not been in church a lot in your life, that's fine. You just enjoy and receive. But if you've been in church any amount of time, you know that this place isn't a place you come just to get for yourself. This is not what the spiritual Walmart, amen. This is supposed to be about thankfulness, but this is a place you come to give and to receive, to show to others. People come here hurting. Your job is to help them, to minister to them. And while you're hurting as well, when you minister, you get ministered to. God does that. People say to me, and I said this a couple weeks ago, they say, well, I bet you're so tired after church because you're like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, I'm energized after church. The more you give of yourself, the more God pours in. I guess I should feel energized every day, but I don't think I give as much as I give on Sundays. The more you give to Jesus, he'll give it back. We were talking about my life, right? And I said, sorry, I didn't say thank you or something like that. We are all guilty of taking things for granted. We realize, especially with those we love most, don't we? Like, they know, so I don't have to say it to my mom or to my dad or my roommate or what. They know, so I don't. Sometimes we're more thankful to the person at Michael's. I don't shop at Michael's, but some girls do. You know, no, we go to Michael's a lot. I don't know why, but Hobby Lobby and Michael's. Sometimes that's my love language, like with our Cynthia's love language. So I shop at Hobby Lobby with her, and we would be more thankful to those people than we are the people right in our house. So we need to be careful. I wonder how Jesus feels about it when we take our blessings for granted. I wonder how Jesus feels about it when we don't say thank you to him. I wonder if he's like up there like, I shouldn't have saved them. They're so that way. I shouldn't have. No. I wonder what he thinks. There's a great example in the Bible of something he did for someone. He like literally gave them their life back. We don't struggle with leprosy anymore. Leprosy is not something that anyone has in this room. Pretty sure. No, we don't. We don't struggle with it anymore. It's gone. That disease is gone. It used to be like the worst. Like the worst thing in the world, right? You got leprosy. You were guaranteed to die. Your body parts would fall off every day. The rats would come and eat your toes, and you wouldn't even know it because you can't feel your toes. It was horrible. And Jesus found some guys, and he helped them, and then they didn't come back and say thank you. I want to talk about it. It's found in Luke chapter 17. These guys, I don't know if they got too distracted, but they forgot that thank you is a verb. You need to verb. Lies. Luke 17, let's read it together. It says, now on his way to Monument, Jesus traveled along the border. I'm so like relevant to the world around us, aren't I here? I'm just kidding. On his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled. Some people fall asleep, and so when they hear something like that, they're like, what? Monument? That's a place in the Bible? Like, I didn't know that. Jesus traveled along the border between Woodland Park and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him, and Jesus ran from them because he did not want to get leprosy either. That's what we would do. And he called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on me. When he saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priests. As they went, they were cleansed. He didn't even pray. Like, I think we could do that. He gave us the same authority, but I think we go on and on with our prayers sometimes. Like, oh, Lord, you know. And I think we could just, you know, go your way. God's healed you. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, oh, my gosh, does it only say one of them? There was 10 of them. And it says one of them, when he saw he was healed, he's like, well, oh, my God. God, I got to go talk to God. I am healed. He comes back. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. By the way, I don't know what that thing's called, that little line. What's that called? No, it's called something else. It's like there's another word, the extra long line. Anyone know like an M-dash? M-dash, that's what it is, E-M-dash and M-dash. I don't know what that means, but this, and then it says M-dash. And he was a Samaritan, by the way. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Now, a lot can be said about what we learn from this passage. Often, I have many questions after reading about Jesus. We are sitting around the story, one story that Jesus happened in his life. And when you sit around the stories that happen in Jesus' life, it's not always like, oh, okay, I get it. Most of the time, especially when Jesus talks, it's like, what? Like, Jesus did what? I'm confused. Like, what? Didn't he heal them and then he told the guy he's well after because you came back and I'm confused? I don't always have answers, but I almost always have questions. Is anyone else like that? Just act like you are. Like, that makes you sound like you read the Bible a lot. Yeah, me too. I have questions. The words of Jesus often do that because I think he knows that he doesn't want to make John, that's a good Bible name, right? But anyone in the room, he doesn't want to make Aaliyah a product. He doesn't want you to just be somebody. Like, you become a Christian, bing, your life is good. You're going to heaven. Everything's perfect. You don't have any more growing to do. It's not a product that he wants us to be. And I think the words in the Bible still challenge today when he says things. He was thinking about challenging those people, but he was also thinking about challenging us. And he knows he doesn't want you to stay who you are. He wants you to always be challenged to be in a process. And let me tell you, Janice, you will never become a product until you get to heaven. He's never going to say, ta-da, this is my perfect, like, creation. Yes, you are. He created you and he's amazing and perfect, but he's always got you in a process so that you continue to grow. And I think Jesus, when he said things, did it on purpose so that one day Stephen would read the Bible and be like, what? You did what? You said what? So I have three questions amongst many others, and I'm not even going to ask all three of them. I don't have time today. I just want to ask a couple. And I have about the story that bring challenges to my gratitude attitude. See what I did there? Gratitude attitude. And they bring challenges and reminders that thank you is a verb. These are the three questions. One of them is this. What did Jesus mean? Go back and put up verse 19 there. What did Jesus mean in verse 19? It says, then he said to him, because back in verse like 14, it says, as they went, they were cleansed. Verse 19, then he said to him, rise, go, your faith has made you well. What did he mean? Did the other nine lose their healing when they were leaving, like they were healed, but they lose their healing because they didn't come back and say thank you? I mean, that makes me wonder, like, is that what it's saying? I think that that could preach, though. I'm not going to go there with it, but if you don't say thank you might lose what little bit of healing you had because you start to take it for granted. Oh, I appreciate it, and you don't say thank you. Another translation says in verse 19, it's the Message version, it says, your faith has healed you, and it's also saved you. Verse 19 says that. Did the other nine get healed but fail to get saved or get receive grace? Like, were they not Jesus followers and they left and they got healed? But then only the one, the Samaritan, by the way, came back and he got his sins forgiven too? Like, maybe that's what's going on. Theologians disagree often about lots of stuff in the Bible. And you could say for sure one way or another, but the interpretations are kind of all over the place. But one thing is for certain, and I like to say things that I know are for certain, and that is this. Expressing your thanks, if you're going to write something down, this would be something to write down. Act like you're writing it. Just be like, oh, good. Expressing thanks, got it? Got it? Yeah. Makes your relationship more complete. Expressing thanks makes your relationship more complete. I'm not here to say that this guy, this Samaritan that came back, was more saved than the other guys. I don't know. I really don't know. But I do know one thing. Any husband knows this. In your relationship with your significant other, or any really anyone could understand this, just thinking how much you like that person or how much you appreciate them or how much you want to thank them or how much you love them, just thinking it doesn't do anything. But your relationship is more complete, I will promise you this, if you say something, if you verbalize. What happens when you show it with your words and your actions is your relationship gets better. It does. Maybe it's just for a minute, but if your relationship's not going so well, this is a seminar for roommates. This is a seminar for kids with your parents. This is a seminar for parents with your kids. Talk to them and say thank you. Say something you appreciate about them. Well, I can't stand the way you do this and the way you do this. It makes me mad to complain about this and gripe about this and grumble about this. Say, oh, one thing you do good. Oh, don't say it. Don't start that way, but in your mind, think one thing you do good. Hey, I like the way you, but don't just say it's the one thing. But I like the way you cook. I like the way you clean your room. Your brother doesn't clean his room, but you do. I like the way you are so smart about sports. You know everything about sports. You're so smart. How are you so smart about it? You're going to become, you're going to get rich by like talking about sports because you know so much about it. You could be the best writer. I love the way you, what you say on Instagram about the Jayhawks. It's great. See, I hope he's not, that's my one of my sons. I appreciate certain things about them, but I don't tear them down for the things I don't like. Expressing thanks makes your relationship, makes your relationship more complete. It'll help it. It'll be better. C.S. Lewis goes so far as to say this. It's a little deep. So if you're not a deep person, don't listen. Just don't listen to this part, but it's just a little sentence. He says, C.S. Lewis says this, we delight to praise what we enjoy. We delight to praise what we enjoy. I'm not done. Because the praise actually will complete the enjoyment. Think about it. Even when you worship, you sit there and watch. You're a spectator, which is fine. You're fine to be a spectator. There's nothing that, well, maybe there is, I don't know. It's nothing in the Bible that says you can't watch a church service while they worship. But when you participate, when you actually start to say thank you to Jesus, when you lift your hands, the Bible says a million times in the Old Testament, how do we worship him? Raise those hands to Jesus. That's where we get it. We don't make it up. It's not some weird person in the Pentecostal movement that came up with, let's start raising our hands. No, the Bible, all through the Hebrew culture, they raised their hands. There's never a time when I raise my hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Or when I say, thank you, Jesus. Like if you're in the front row, you hear me. And I don't always do this at home, but sometimes when I'm praising here, I start lifting my voice. There's never a time when I lift my voice, raise my hands, look to heaven, that I don't feel better after I did that. Because praise sometimes will complete the enjoyment. My relationship gets better with Jesus when I talk to him, when I say thank you. Today, I think it was after I got out of the shower, I was feeling pretty, like, unthankful, all right? And I'm thinking, I'm talking about thankfulness at church today? Oh, my gosh. I'm a hypocrite. You know what I did? I started saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I wasn't even like thinking, like, thank you for my shoes, Jesus. Thank you for my room, Jesus. Thank you for my, I was trying to think of something to rhyme with room, but I was just saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know what rises up in you when you start to do that? I actually started feeling thankful. I actually started feeling pretty spiritual. I actually started feeling pretty good about myself. And it wasn't because of me. It was because the spirit in me came alive. It woke up. I don't necessarily need an amen, but I want you to think. Do you do that? That's a super easy way to be thankful. Just start saying it. Today, my son was getting into some trouble. We get here like 7 in the morning. He's here for like 9 hours before church starts. And he got into some trouble, and I went and screamed at him, actually. Poor little 5-year-old. I screamed at him. I said, Jaden, you can't do that. That's not the way we act. And then you know what I did? I came in here. I sat at a chair. I just started saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for this little guy. Thank you, Jesus. And you know what happened to him? He was really upset and really disheveled, and because I was probably mean to him. I shouldn't have said it the way I did. And he fell sound asleep, like right there, peaceful. And I felt really good, too, because thankfulness does that. And I spent way too much time on that part. But you know what I'm saying? Expressing thanks makes your relationship more complete. You could say it like this. C.S. Lewis went on to say, have you ever seen a sunset, like a really beautiful sunset, a really awesome one? This town, you see some pretty things. You can be up at Union and Woodman, see the whole town. You see at 6 o'clock in the morning how the sun just hits the mountains, and it looks like they're on spotlight, and everything else is dark, and you're like, oh, my gosh. Oh, no one's here. I can't even share it with someone. He says, have you ever seen a sunset and had no one to share it with? That's kind of what I mean. Fully to enjoy is to express it. Hey, did you see that? That's so cool. You actually start to enjoy it more. My kids make fun of me when I say, look at that. Isn't that beautiful? They're like, yes, yes, it is beautiful. Yes. Your expression of gratitude completes the gratitude. In simple terms, you could say it like this. You miss out. You, me, we all miss out when we don't say thanks. You will miss out on some of life. This month, you feel like you're missing out? Start saying thanks. Because feeling grateful and not communicating it is like, oh, here's another wrapping present illustration. This is completely different than the one earlier. But feeling grateful and not communicating it is like wrapping a present and not giving it. Let me say that again. Feeling grateful and not communicating it is like wrapping a present and not giving it. You miss out. You don't get to watch what happens when you say thank you, when you say you look beautiful today, when you say thank you for doing this for me, you understand what I'm saying? Same goes for worship. Who doesn't feel better after raising your hands and saying hallelujah? That song, I think, said, I raise a hallelujah. And it says, my praise is a weapon, or my melody is a weapon. My melody is definitely a weapon to people. I appreciate, enjoyed having Aaliyah on the worship team today. You did awesome. Praise is a weapon, but so is thanksgiving. It'll fight. The enemy hates it. He's just so ticked off when people are thankful. He's like, your heart is like in a good place. I hate it. Oh, I hate it. That's why it's hard. That's why when you're getting ready to pray or something, you're getting ready to be thankful, and you get busy, like these other nine guys, they got busy. You would never be that, right? But we do. We get busy, and we forget to say thank you. The enemy it's easy for him to distract you because he doesn't want you to be thankful. Robert Emmons, he's a leading scientific expert at Davis University. And other scientists have all kind of confirmed this, have discovered that your body releases a chemical. It actually releases a chemical that makes health come to you when you feel gratitude. The more you are thankful, it releases something inside of you. People in spiritual places will say, well, I just speak it into existence. I say thank you even when I'm not thankful. And some of that is spiritual, and some of that is just physical, that your body is starting to believe, like, wow, I'm going to start feeling better. It's proven that people live longer who are thankful. I won't go into it, but there's books and books on it, and I won't tell you all the advice about it. But you can see that, can't you? People that complain and grumble and gripe and whine and gossip and cuss and curse and everything like that, they don't live as long. But people who are thankful do. Not to mention spiritually, when you're thankful spiritually, it lifts your eyes from your problems to Jesus. Mentally, when you're thankful, instead of, right? All those online that did not see that, I did this. I wish I could go to that church because I want to see what he did. All you in the balcony, is that funny? How many up in the balcony are glad to be here? All right. The third balcony up there. Okay. Thanksgiving mentally brings peace. It'll bring peace. It'll take away stress. Thanksgiving physically, we already talked about, causes people to live longer. Prayer and thanks are important. Another question I have about the story, and this is the only other question I'm going to ask, is this. The challenge is, and reminds me to be thankful, and that thank you is a verb, is this. Why did he mention that the one who said thank you was a Samaritan? He was a Samaritan. Why does it mention that? Samaritans were the least liked people in the world. You think there's racism today, then with the worst people. People didn't even walk through the Samaria because they didn't even want to be near them. They will walk around it, including the disciples. And Jesus decided, if you look at the beginning of that verse, he says, we're going right through Samaria. Because Jesus didn't see race. He didn't see religion. He didn't see the things that we see today. Why does he mention that he's a Samaritan? Do those who are outcasts, back in that day, I'm not saying, those who are outcasts or outside of the church tend to be more thankful. Now, if you're here today and you're outside of the church, I'm going to lift you up today. Yeah, you're in the church, so don't ever forget to be thankful. Don't ever stop being thankful, because I think people outside of the church often are more thankful because they don't take it for granted what you get, the blessings you experience every day. Why would Jesus heal someone outside of the church? Well, obviously I know this, but I'm just asking it. Why would Jesus heal someone outside of the church? Doesn't he only heal people inside of the church? Do we judge people that Jesus accepts? That's a question I have. Why would he go to this guy and heal him? Do we judge people Jesus accepts? Think about it. Don't answer it out loud, but yeah, we do. Is there people outside the church that God asks us to bring healing to, but we think, oh no, I wouldn't go to them. I wouldn't even go in their country. I would never go near them. They have leprosy. They're a Samaritan. Is there people that God's asked us to pray for, to reach out our hand to them, for them to be healed, that we think, no, not them. They won't receive it. They don't go to church. They never heard a sermon on healing. They're not going to believe it. Do you know who the prime candidates for healing probably more are? Not the people in this room. Because we take it for granted, and we have too many thoughts, and we have too many doubts. We have too many questions why Jesus wouldn't heal or why he didn't. If you go to someone who doesn't know anything about healing, like you did this last year in the summer, and you guys were just going out and praying for people, you would be surprised at how many people would receive healing because they didn't even know it's a gift that they can have, that they can receive. Samaritans were the worst of the worst of the church to the church people. But Jesus reaches out to a Samaritan and one with leprosy at that. And what was the result? The opposite of what church people would think would happen happened. The church people got healed and that guy got healed, or that girl, whatever it was. And who was the best worshiper in that group? Who was the one that had the biggest transformation happen? Not only were they healed, but they were saved, or whatever else God did when he came back. It was the outcast. It was the one outside of the church that actually got the most, became the biggest worshiper. I think we'd be surprised if we brought in someone who doesn't know Jesus. They met Jesus here, and you watched them worship. They would put you to shame. I think they would. They just might. And I think that would be the only bad thing about it, is that you would look bad, because look how much gratitude they have. Look at their gratitude attitude, and look at mine. Mine's taking it for granted. And they are so thankful. New Christians are like that, aren't they? We need more new Christians in this church, because you need to wake up, right? I need to wake up. I need to remember how thankful I am. Everybody say amen. Amen. I asked you to say it on that, and that was okay. Right on. Come on up, my brother Roger. Next time you second guess who the Holy Spirit asks you to pray for to become a Jesus follower, think again. The Spirit, the water, the Bible says, is inside of us. It's not to be kept bottled up in these church walls. It's for out there. Our water, our Spirit, the power that is in us, that says the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in us and dwells in us, is for outside. It's for your neighbors to sense, to feel, to get a drink. It's to bring to the Samaritan. It's to bring to your family you have given up on. You've given up on them because you don't think he's got it. He can do it. He can. The Spirit is for those out there. It's for Kanye, right? It's for Drake. It's for Jay-Z. It's for Brad Pitt. It's for your boss. It's for Cardi B. No way. No way. Cardi B. Only maybe three people in the room could see. It's not for Cardi B. Yes, it is. It is for her too. What if? What would happen if she? I would be blown away. Can I say on my little soapbox for a minute, and you can be offended by this, but this guy, this poor guy, Kanye, yes, he's a brand new Christian, and yes, he makes mistakes, and he says some stupid stuff, but everyone here is perfect, right? And some of you have been Christians your whole life, and you still say stupid stuff, and you still do stupid stuff. But we got to pray for a poor guy like this who could get more people saved in one word than we in all of our churches in Colorado Springs could do in our whole lives. This guy has Sunday services every week in a different city. And people come and people are touched and people are saved because of his influence. Yes, big deal about his influence. But Jesus is in him and we need to pray for him. People like that can be saved, can be healed. You just might be surprised that those outside the church might beat you in the gratitude category. That's the only problem, because they're more grateful for what they have. I'm surprised at how sometimes when new Christians become Christians, how outspoken they are. It's almost like, don't say this here. You don't say Jesus is King. That's not cool to say. Like, that's kind of weird. Like, people think you're weird. But they're thankful. We need to be more thankful. People, you'll be surprised at how people will respond to the name of Jesus when you say it thankfully, instead of saying, Jesus. Jesus wouldn't like you doing that. Jesus would be mad at you. Jesus judges you. No. When you say Jesus loves you and you express it, you'd be surprised. I want to ask you a question. This is the last question as we close. It's not really one of the questions from the scripture, but it is this. Would I be like the other nine, or would I be like the Samaritan? Ask yourself that. Bow your heads with me. Not to pray, but just to bow your heads to think. And if you need to take a little nap, take a little nap, but we're going to be out of here and you're going to be embarrassed, because we're going to be out and you're going to be like, oh, everyone's gone. Would I be like the nine, or would I be like the one? Let's be like the one. Sometimes it's the easiest thing to do to not say thanks. And you might be like that one, that nine that were planning to come back. Maybe even some of them went to look for Jesus and they couldn't find them. And then they said, oh, well, I can't find him. It's not worth it. I give up. We do that. It's so easy to give up on saying thanks or coming to Jesus to pray or to read our Bible because something distracted us. Guess who distracts us really a lot and loves to do it is the devil. He'll find a way. As soon as you're going to look for your Bible to read it, you get distracted, right? You're distracted because he does not want you to be thankful. Thankfulness is a verb. Would you say a prayer with me today? And it's a little bit eloquent in the way it's written, and I wrote it that way on purpose. Would you say this? Jesus. It doesn't have to be real loud, but say it kind of over, not just a whisper, but Jesus, help me not forget that sin levels the playing field. What I mean by that, before we go on, is that there are people around you in this room even that you would say, they're worse than me. I'm not that bad. No, we're all the same. Whether your name is Kanye, whether your name is Karen, you're the same. Sin levels the playing field. Let us not forget that sin levels the playing field. Repeat this after me. But your grace and mercy elevate my altitude, bringing me gratitude that changes my attitude. I'll say it again. Say it with me again. Thank you for your grace and mercy that elevates my altitude, that brings me gratitude, that changes my attitude. The last part of the prayer. I know that there is nothing good in me that excuses me from verbalization of my appreciation. You're like, wow, I had a fancy prayer there. Lord, I pray for every person in this room that we would be a thankful people. That as Andre Crouch said, in his song, Thank You. I don't want to be like, help me not be like the nine, but let me be like the one who pushed through the crowd with tears in my eyes and said, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. Let us not forget to be thankful. Help us remember to express what's in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody stand to your feet. We're leaving. We're getting out of this room. But when you leave this room, it's going to hit you what you're mad at, what you're angry at, what you want to criticize, what you want to complain about. It'll hit you. If it doesn't hit you right outside this room, because you're going to have some pie when you get your car, when the pie is gone, when the coffee is gone, when the lunch is over, when your kids start screaming, when your husband starts, when your roommate does the, when you start thinking about next week of work, it's going to be ripped away to be thankful. And I want to remind you of the things I said today. Gratitude is an attitude. Thanksgiving is a verb. Verbalizing your thanks will make your relationships more complete, especially this one. So when it feels like it's incomplete, say thank you to him. Spiritually, it centers you. Mentally, it brings you peace. And physically, it'll make you live longer. So be thankful this week. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening today. Remember, God wants to do the impossible through you and me. We encourage you to become a deeper part of what we are doing. Visit us at newsongcs.com and become a giver to the New Song Foundation and an investor in bringing this message of Jesus across the world. God bless you.